بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, upon his family, companions, and all those people who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we come to the ending of this small series of lessons regarding bid'ah, innovations and rulings and principles relating to innovations in al-Islam. And previously we went through the definition of a bid'ah, and then the various types of bid'ah in the religion, and bid'ah mukaffira and bid'ah ghair mukaffira, also bid'ah al-fi'liyah wa tarkiyah. We went through examples of bid'ah fil i'tiqad, in a person's belief, and bid'ah fil qawl, and bid'ah in a person's speech, and bid'ah fil amal, and innovations upon the limbs as actions. We studied whether it's correct to divide innovations into bid'ah hasana, bid'ah sayyi'ah, and we said that this isn't correct. We also went through six matters which have to be fulfilled in order for an action to be considered from the sunnah. And those six matters are as-sabab, wal-jins, wal-qadr, wal-kayfiyah, wal-zaman, wal-makan. And all of this we studied in previous lessons. In the last lesson, we went through ayat in the Qur'an which rebuke innovations, like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنِ اتَّبَعَ هَوَىٰ بِغَيْرِ هُدًى مِّنَ اللَّهِ. And who is more misguided than the one who follows his desires away from the guidance from Allah. Also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهُ أي وُجُوهِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْإِئْتِلَافِ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ أي وُجُوهِ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعَةِ وَالْإِخْتِلَافِ. And other ayat that we studied. Also we went through a number of ahadith which rebuke and dispraise innovations, like the hadith of Umm al-Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. Whoever innovates anything into this affair of ours, it will be rejected. And the saying, مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي, whoever exceeds my sunnah or turns away from my sunnah is not from me. And the other ahadith which we went through. After that, we studied the statements of some of the sahaba and some of the tabi'een, like the statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who said, اتَّبِعُوا وَلَا تَبْتَدِعُوا فَقَدْ كُفِيتُمْ. Follow and do not innovate, because you have been sufficed. كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ, and every bid'ah is misguidance. And other statements of Al-Hasan al-Basri, Al-Fudayl ibn Iyaz, Sufyan al-Thawri, and other statements that we studied. Also in the previous lesson, we went through the difference between a bid'ah and al-masalih al-mursala. What is the difference between them? And this is an important point. So, to revise, what is the definition of maslaha mursala, or al-masalih al-mursala? How are they defined in the sharia? Who knows? No. And there is no evidence to affirm it or negate it. So the maslaha mursala, it is kullu manfa'atin dakhilatin fi maqasid ash-shar' duna an yakuna laha shahidun bil-i'tibari aw al-ilgha. That it is any avenue which brings about a common interest, it fulfills the aims of the sharia, and it doesn't have an evidence which proves it or disproves it. And this, in very brief summary, is the definition of al-maslaha al-mursala. The point is that the difference between the maslaha mursala and the difference between the bid'ah is that the masalih al-mursala are in the wasail. And as for the bid'ah, as for the innovations, then it is the objective in of itself. So the maslaha mursala is an action which is there for the common interests of the public, for the Muslims, in order to fulfill an objective from the Sharia. But it's only an avenue, it's only a means. We don't worship Allah through the maslaha mursala itself. The bid'ah is different. Because the bid'ah, people worship Allah through the bid'ah itself. And we gave various examples of this. So for example, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he began the Hijri calendar. So the Hijri calendar, can we call it a bid'ah? No, it is not. Because it is from the masalih al-mursala. It is only an avenue or a means in order to further one of the Islamic aims which was needed at that time, and it was not required at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The building of schools and the building of Islamic madaris, we don't say it's bid'ah. Rather, it is masalih mursala. These buildings are built for the common interest of the Muslims to further the maqsad of the sharia, i.e. the aim of the sharia, to teach the book of Allah and to convey the knowledge of the sharia. Also, for example, the writing of the mushaf. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was memorized in the hearts of the people. And then at the time of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhuma, it was collected into a single mushaf, a physical copy which is written. Also, for example, we mentioned the mihrab, which shows us the way of the qibla. A person could say that the mihrab, or the rows in the masjid, or separate rooms and halls for women to pray, it is bid'ah. But it isn't, rather it is from al-masalih al-mursala. So it's from the common interest which the Muslims need. So nowadays, if a Muslim comes in, how will he know which way to face the qibla? So we might put a sticker there to show him where the qibla is. Or we might place a mihrab there to show him which way the qibla is. And this is from al-masalih al-mursala. Also the building of minarets. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the adhan would be given, then Bilal radiallahu anhu sa'ida sath al-masjid. He climbed onto the roof of the masjid. So at that time there was no minaret. But as Al-Madinah, as it grew and it expanded and there were more and more households, then the latter generation started building minarets. And we don't say that the minaret, it is a bid'ah. Rather, it was required for the common interest of the people, that more people can now hear the adhan. Similar to the microphone, for example. The microphone, we use microphones for adhan, for the salah, for teaching lessons. We don't say it is a bid'ah. Rather, it is something which we use for the common interest of the people, to further one of the objectives of the sharia, which is to convey the sound of the one who is speaking. And we gave various different examples. Then the final thing which we studied in the previous week's lesson is, هَلْ كُلُّ مَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الْبِدْعَةِ يَكُونُ مُبْتَدِعًا. Is everybody who does a bid'ah, is he automatically given the ruling that he is a mubtadi', that he is an innovator? And we discussed that there are different types of innovations, and there are different levels of people who do innovations, and not every person who falls into a bid'ah do we say that he is a mubtadi'. And this is what we ended with in the previous lesson. So in this lesson, the first thing we're going to study is, what are those things that if a person does one of them, he leaves the fold of Ahlul Sunnah and he enters into Ahlul Bid'ah. So what are those principles which differentiate Ahlul Sunnah or Ahlul Hadith, or the people who follow the way of the Salaf, the saved sect, and the various other groups and deviated individuals? So before we study which things take a person out of the Sunnah, we need to know what are the usul of Ahlul Sunnah. What are the main core fundamental beliefs of Ahlul Sunnah? What are the main core distinctions of the way of the Salaf as opposed to the way of the people of innovation? And these are called Usul As-Sunnah. Or we could say Usul Manhaj As-Salaf, the Usul of Sunnah, or the Usul of the Salafi methodology. And as a side point, when we say Usul As-Sunnah, we don't mean by this the word Sunnah which is understood by the Fuqaha. Because with the Fuqaha, the meaning of Sunnah is Nafl, Mustahab, Mandub. This is called Sunnah. I.e. anything which is not wajib, it is a Sunnah. I.e. it is something which is encouraged for a person to do, but not as an obligation. And when we say Sunnah in this context, neither are we referring to the definition of the Muhaddithun. Because according to the Muhaddithun, the scholars of Hadith, the Sunnah are those statements and actions and characteristics which have been authentically attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also his tacit approval. When a Sunnah is mentioned with a Salaf, like Usul As-Sunnah, then here a Sunnah, it means Al-Aqidah. So when we read the books of the Salaf, and it says Usul As-Sunnah of Al-Imam Ahmad, for example, they don't mean Usul As-Sunnah, meaning the Sunnah which is understood by the Fuqaha, nor the Muhaddithun. They mean Usul As-Sunnah, a Usul Al-Aqidah, or Usul Al-Islam. So this is the meaning of a Sunnah in the books of Aqidah, in the books of Manhaj, and in the books of the Salaf. So Ahlul Sunnah and the Salaf, they had certain principles which they were known by. And these principles, Ahlul Sunnah were distinguished by these principles from the people of innovation. So whoever believes something which is in contradiction to these usul which we are going to mention, without an excuse, and then he makes his al-wala wal-bara based upon this contradiction to these usul, then he has left the fold of Ahlul Sunnah. And then he is described to be from the groups of the people of innovation. So for example, from the usul of Ahlul Sunnah is that they believe the religion is based upon two principles. Al-Asl Awwal, Allah na'buda illallah, and Al-Asl Thani, Allah na'buda Allah illa bima shara'a an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The two main core principles of our manhaj is that our deen, it is based upon two principles. The first principle is that we worship Allah alone, and we warn against ash-shirk. And the second principle is that we do not worship Allah except in the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has legislated. So if you now understand that this is from the usul of Ahlul Sunnah, let's say a person comes along and he permits al-istighatha bil-awliya, then you now know he has gone against one of the main principles of Ahlul Sunnah. We believe that our worship has to be for Allah alone. This person, even though he claims he's from Ahlul Sunnah, but he permits seeking help and istighatha by the awliya and the salihin. And he believes in this and he has no excuse. So therefore he has left the fold of Ahlul Sunnah. Also we said that from the usul of Ahlul Sunnah is that we only worship Allah in the way which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam legislated. So now we have an individual, he comes and he contradicts this. And his madhab or his manhaj, his whole methodology is based upon that you are allowed to worship Allah through innovations. And these are good innovations. He has now left the fold of Ahlul Sunnah because he has contradicted one of the main usul of our manhaj. Also, from the usul of da'wah salafiyah, from the usul of Ahlul Sunnah is that al-islah, the rectification of the ummah, bidayatuhu wa nihayatuhu tahqiq tawheedillah. That the rectification of the ummah, it starts with and it ends with at-tawheed. Ay tawheedul ibadah, tawheedul uluhiyya. So you see, from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the Sahaba, to the Salaf, to our time today, this has always been the da'wah of Ahlul Sunnah. That our da'wah starts with tawheed and it ends with at-tawheed. The main core message of our da'wah is to worship Allah alone and to go against ash-shirk. And we believe that this is what will bring the rectification of the
ummah. Then a person comes along and he says, no, my manhaj, or the manhaj of our group, is that the rectification of the ummah is brought through al-khilafah, or the rectification of the ummah is specific to al-hakimiyyah, not to tawheedul ibadah. So if you call to tawheedul ibadah, he will belittle this da'wah. And he say rather the da'wah should be al-hakimiyyah or al-khilafah. He has now, and he makes this his madhab, his manhaj. Of course, remember, from our da'wah is al-hakimiyyah. That al-hukm is for Allah alone is part of our da'wah. And accepting the khilafah is from our da'wah. But is this the starting point of our da'wah? Is this the basis of our da'wah? And was this the basis of the da'wah of the prophets and the messengers? No, it wasn't. And that the ulama, they mention that if you look at the prophets and the messengers, from the beginning to the end, how many of them ever achieved the khilafah? Very few. Maybe only one or two. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam, he had authority upon the earth. Sahih, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Al-Madina, he achieved authority upon the earth. And yet many of the prophets and the messengers, they never achieved authority upon the earth. They never established the khilafah. So now do we say that they failed in their mission, na'udhu billah? No, they did not. Why? Because they called to the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, from the usul of Ahl Sunnah is ta'zeem al-sahaba. To exalt and honor the sahaba and then the salaf who came after them. And for this reason, Al-Imam Ahmad, in the first lines of his Usul al-Sunnah, he said, Usul al-Sunnati indana, the Usul of the Sunnah, meaning the core principles of our Aqeedah with us, is At-Tamassuk bima kana alayhi ashabu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is to hold on firm to that which the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam were upon. Wal-Iqtida'u bihim, and to follow them. And then he went on. So now if a person comes along or a group and they insult the Sahaba, so the basis of the Aqeedah is insulting or belittling the status of the Sahaba. And this is the basis of the Aqeedah. Then they are not from Ahlu Sunnah, because they have contradicted one of the main usul of Ahlu Sunnah. Also from our usul is we take from the Kitab and the Sunnah, but we limit our understanding and we limit our implementation to the understanding of the Sahaba and the Salaf. So if now a group comes along and they say, no, we are going to understand the Quran and the Sunnah according to Al-Kashf wa-Dhawq. And Al-Kashf wa-Dhawq is something which the extreme Sufiya have with them. They say that to us, we have not a wahi, not revelation, but a certain type of inspiration which comes to us. And this inspiration, this kashf, this inspiration, we can use it to understand the religion. In fact, they will say that your religion and your understanding, it is mayyit, it is dead. You're taking it from dead people, meaning the salaf. As for us, deenuna hay, our religion, it is alive, because we are receiving this inspiration from Allah or from the awliya, this kashf or this dhuq. They say, for you is the zawahir, for us is the sarair. That you people, you only take with that which is apparent. As for us, we have secrets which are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they don't limit their understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah to the way of the Sahaba and the Salaf. And therefore we say that you have left the fold of Ahl Sunnah. Also, those people who say that the way of the Khalaf, those who came late on, meaning our generations, it is a'lam wa ahkam. There's more knowledge in the latter generations. And the manhaj of the latter generations is more clear and more apparent. Rather, we say that the manhaj of the Salaf, it is a'lam wa aslam wa ahkam. That the knowledge and the clarity and success and salvation is in the way of the Salaf. Also, for example, and we're summarizing very quickly, from the usul of Ahl Sunnah is tark al bid'ah, to abandon the innovations. Wa majalasatu ahliha, and to abandon sitting with the people of innovation. Wa tark al khusuma fi din, and to abandon argumentation in the religion. وَحِفْظُ كَرَامَةِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَحُبِّهِمْ. And at the same time to love Ahlu Sunnah and to honor Ahlu Sunnah and to honor the people of the Sunnah. Or we can say Al-Wala wal-Bara ala Sunnah, to base our love and hatred, our alliances and our disassociation upon the Sunnah. So this is from the usul of the way of the Salaf. Now, for example, somebody comes along and he says, no, we don't need to hate the people of innovation. Rather, we should be working with the people of innovation. And we should take our religion from the people of innovation as well. And all of the various opinions are accepted. So one of the main usul of our religion, he has gone against it. And this is his madhab. We say, you have left the fold of Ahlul Sunnah. Also, from the usul of the Salaf is Al-Iman qawlun wa amal wa yuzid wa yanqus. That Iman, it is both statement and action, meaning statement of the heart, i.e. the i'tiqad, and statement of the tongue, and also actions. And Iman increases and according to your good deeds, and Iman decreases according to your sins. So if now a group comes along and they hold aqeedah, it is based upon, for example, the extreme murji'ah, the jahmiyah, they said, al-Iman ma'rifah. They said, Iman, it is only knowing or being aware of the existence of Allah. If you know that Allah exists, then you are mu'min kamilul iman. So therefore, according to this, Fir'aun is a believer. And Iblis is a mu'min. Why? Because both of them are aware and they know that Allah exists. Or for example, others, the Asha'ira, they said, al-Iman huwa tasdiqul qalb only. That Iman, it is only belief of the heart, nothing more. Statements don't enter into Iman, and actions don't enter into Iman. It is only the belief which is in the heart. So according to this, Abu Lahab was a mu'min, and Abu Jahl and Abu Talib were mu'mineen. Why? Because in their heart they accepted and they believed in the rububiyyah of Allah. And Abu Talib in his heart, he knew that the religion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is the truth. So this is from one of our usul, that Iman consists of beliefs and statements and actions. It increases and it decreases. If a group comes along now and goes against this, and this is their madhab, meaning it isn't only an individual mistake or misunderstanding in wording, but this is their madhab and their aqeedah, then they have left the fold of Ahlul Sunnah. From the usul of Ahlul Sunnah is الإيمان بصفات الله وأسمائه على الوجه الذي يليق به سبحانه وتعالى دون تحريف ولا تأويل. Is to have firm and correct Iman in the names of Allah, the attributes and the descriptions of Allah, and the actions of Allah which is found in the Quran and the Sunnah, and that we don't negate them, and neither do we interpret them without an evidence. So if somebody comes along and his aqeedah is based upon the ta'atil of the sifat of Allah, the negation of the attributes of Allah, like for example the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, some of them said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بِلَا سَمْعٍ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِلَا بَصَرٍ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ بِلَا حَيَاتٍ. They said, Allah's name is the all-hearing, but He does not have the attribute of hearing. They said, Allah's name is Al-Basir, just His name. It's just an empty name which has no reality to it. Allah's name is Al-Basir, the all-seeing, but without sight. Allah's name is Al-Hay, this is one of His names, but without Al-Haya. And so on and so forth. The Mu'attila. So we say that you have left the fold of Ahlul Sunnah. Also, from the usul of Ahlul Sunnah is that when it comes to the awliya and the salihin, that we don't have ghulu when it comes to their status. We do not exaggerate the status of the awliya and the salihin. And we do not place anybody above the prophets and the messengers. At the same time, from the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah is that we affirm karamat al-awliya. We affirm the status of the awliya. And we affirm some of the miracles which Allah gave some of the awliya. So now if a group of people come along, like the Rawafid, And they give some of their imams a position which is higher than the positions of some of the anbiya and the rusul and even some and also some of the sahaba. Then because they have gone against one of the main usul of Ahlus Sunnah, they have left the fold of Ahlus Sunnah and they are from the people of innovation. Also, from the usul of Ahlus Sunnah is as-sam' wa-ta'a li-wulat al-umur, is to hear and obey and accept the authority of the rulers. وَلَا يُتْرَكَ الْجَمَاعَةِ, and that the main body of the Muslims which has a ruler is not abandoned, nor is it fought against. وَعَدَمُ الْخُرُوجِ عَلَى الْحُكَّامِ, and neither do they rebel against the Muslim rulers. وَلَا يُكَفِّرُونَ أَهْلُ الْقِبْلَةِ, وَلَا يُكَفِّرُونَ أَهْلَ الْقِبْلَةِ, and they do not make takfir of the Muslims who face the qibla of the Muslims. أَبْرَارًا كَانُوا أَوْ فُجَّار, whether they are righteous or disobedient, meaning the rulers, as long as they are Muslims. Whether they are righteous or disobedient, then if you look at the manhaj of the Salaf, then they do not hold them to be non-Muslim, they do not rebel against them, they do not go against them or disregard their authority. And the hadith on this are mutawatira. There are many, many hadith regarding this. So now if a group comes along and the basis of their aqeedah, the basis of their da'wah is al-khuruj al-hukam, then this person has left the fold of al-Islam, like the Khawarij and also the Mu'tazila. Also, from the usul of Ahlus Sunnah is taqdeemu al-naql ala al-aql, is to give precedence to the narrations before logical understanding or before al-kalam, before rhetoric. So if something has been authentically narrated to us and it is authentic, even if we don't understand the logic behind it, we still accept it, because we believe it is wahi from Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But now if Ahlul Kalam, the people of rhetoric, they come along and they try to explain the attributes of Allah according to the philosophies of the Greek and the Indians and the Romans and the Persians, then we say that you have left the fold of Ahlus Sunnah. Also, from the principles of Ahlus Sunnah, أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَنْتَسِبُونَ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ السُنَّةِ, that Ahlus Sunnah, they have no other name except the name As-Sunnah. Meaning Ahlus Sunnah, they are only known by the name Ahlus Sunnah or another name which agrees with this, like Ahlus Sunnah or Ahlul Hadith or those who follow the way of the Athar, Ahlul Athar, or those who follow the way of the Salaf. All of these names, they mean the same thing. So Ahlus Sunnah, you realize that our name never goes back to a particular individual, or it never goes back to a particular town or a city. For example, the Breluya, this name, it doesn't go back to the Sunnah or the Hadith or the Quran or the Salaf. It goes back to a town in India called Al-Brelu, and the founder Ahmad Raza Khan Brelwi, and also the Diyubandiya. This group, the name doesn't go back to the Sunnah. It goes back to a town called Al-Diyuband, and so on and so forth. And if you ask them, what is your madhab and what is your manhaj, they say, we are Diyubandis or Brelwi, or whatever the name is, or Naqshbandi, goes back to a particular individual, a particular tariqah. So Ahlus Sunnah, those who follow the way of the Salaf, those who follow the way of the Athar, Ahlul Hadith, they are not known to ascribe to a particular place, or a particular individual, or a particular tariqah. Rather, they are known by the name Sunnah, or Hadith, or any other name which has this meaning. So the point is that these principles which we have mentioned, which are usul as-sunnah, these are the core principles of the sunnah, of the aqeedah. If a person goes against it, and his madhab or his manhaj or his aqeedah is in contradiction to these usul, then he has left the fold of Ahlus Sunnah. But at the same time, you have to differentiate between different types of people and different types of contradictions. So for example, there is a difference between a person who is Sunni and he follows the way of the Salaf and he believes in all of these principles and his alliance is based upon these principles. But then he fell into an error. Even if the error was in a branch of one of these principles. This person, we don't hold him to be an innovator immediately. And this is different to a person who in the first place, he believes that he's from the Asha'ira, or he's from the Qadariya, or he's from the Jahmiya, or he's from the Ilmaniyin. He ascribes himself to that madhab or that aqeedah. So we don't treat a person from Ahlul Sunnah who believes and lives according to these usul, and then he makes a mistake in these usul, like we treat a person who in the first place, his whole aqeedah is against these usul. We differentiate in both of these instances. Also, the ulama, they differentiate between the one الَّذِي أُقِيمَتْ عَلَيْهِ الْحُجَّةِ, the one against whom the evidence has been established, and against the one who the evidence has not been established against him. Meaning, you have one person, he falls into errors when it comes to these usul. So the ulama go to him and they advise him and they give him evidences, they try to convince him, they write advice to him, and stubbornly, arrogantly he rejects. This is different to another person who fell into an error because of his misunderstanding. And no advice has been given to him, nobody has approached him. We don't treat both of these people as the same. Also, the ulama, they differ or differentiate between a da'i ila al-bid'ah, the one who calls to his bid'ah, and the one who bases his alliances upon his bid'ah. And between another person, maybe he falls into the bid'ah, but it is restricted to himself. So he's not calling to this bid'ah, he's not basing his animosity upon this bid'ah. If you follow me in this way, then you are with me. If you don't follow me upon this bid'ah, then you are such and such. Rather, the second person, the bid'ah is just restricted. He fell into a bid'ah. There's a difference between these two types of people. Also, the ulama, they differentiate between a scholar who fell into a bid'ah out of ijtihad. أو له عذر مقبول. There's a scholar and he was trying his best to understand the evidences, but he misunderstood something, so he fell into an innovation. And between another person who arrogantly rejects the evidences. There's a difference between these two people. So the first person was sincere. He was striving to seek knowledge and understood something, but then he misunderstood. Maybe he considered a weak hadith to be authentic. Maybe an authentic hadith did not reach him. Maybe he considered one hadith to abrogate a particular hadith and he made a mistake in this. But he was mushtahid, he was striving his best to come to the correct understanding. And then you have another person, it's pure arrogance. And he is mu'anid. There's a difference between these two types of people. Also, like we mentioned in the previous lessons, we differentiate between the bid'ah and we differentiate between the person who has fallen into the bid'ah based upon the type of bid'ah it is. Is it bid'ah mukaffira? Or is it bid'ah mufassiqah? Is it bid'ah asliya? Or is it bid'ah idafiya? Is it bid'ah haqiqiya? Or is it bid'ah nisbiya? We studied all of this in the previous lessons. The bid'ah, is it in the usul of the religion, the main aqidah of al-Islam, or is it in the furu', the finer details of the religion? The mubtadi', is he a person of knowledge or a person of ignorance? Does he call to his bid'ah or does he not call to his bid'ah? Is he stubbornly continuing upon his bid'ah and he has been advised? Or did the person merely fall into a mistake? And so on and so forth. All of these factors, they play a role when it comes to the ruling of tabdi' upon a person. And the ulama, they mention that a person, إِذَا خَالَفَ أَهْلَ السُّنَّةِ فِي أَمْرٍ كُلِّ, if a person opposes the people of the sunnah, فِي أَمْرٍ كُلِّ, meaning in one of the core principles of the aqeedah, or if it's a group, then he has left, or that group has left the fold of Ahlul Sunnah. So for example, we have to differentiate between أَمْرٌ كُلِّ وَأَمْرٌ جُزْئِ. So أَمْرٌ كُلِّ, This is the main principle of our aqeedah. Amrun juz'i is one of the branches of this aqeedah, or of this asl. And I'll give you an example. So, for example, there is a person who believes تقديم النقل على العقل, that always the narrations, they come before the aql, always. And this is the principle which he lives by. And he understands all of the ayat based upon the principle that the naql comes before the aql. And then there is one incident in which he interpreted the sifa based upon his understanding. Is this person immediately an innovator? No. Why? Because the asl which he lives by is still taqdeem al-naql al-aql. This is asl, this is what he lives by. But then he fell into a mistake in the juz'iyat of this main principle, in one of the individual aspects or issues regarding this religion. And the ulama, Shaykh ibn Uthameen, we mentioned last week, he speaks about al-Nawawi and al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, and before them, al-Imam al-Bayhaqi as well. So, if you look at Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, if you look at all of his books, then he has with him Ta'zeem al-Sahaba, Al-Tawheed, Taqdeem al-Naql ala al-Aql, and so on and so forth. But in individual incidents, he went against the principle. Meaning in juz'iyat, not in the main core principle. So for this reason, the ulama, they never said that Al-Imam al-Nawawi, na'udhu billah, he is an innovator from the people of innovation. They said, this statement which he had, it is incorrect. This statement is an innovation. But if you look at the principles by which he based his aqidah upon, then the principles are correct. He only fell into a mistake into the juz'iyat of this amr, which is kulli, of the main principle. But this is different to a person like the Asha'ira, who say, no, our aqeedah is based upon making ta'wil of the sifat. Or a person who comes along, like the Ikhwan al-Muslimun, and they say, our manhaj is based upon gathering Ahlul Bidah and sitting with, and everybody working with each other, whether they are Ahlul Bidah or they are Ahlul Sunnah. Regardless if the person is from the Rawafidh or from Ahlul Sunnah, then we should all be together. There's a difference between this. Also, some of the ulama, they say, that if a person, إِذَا خَالَفَ أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ فِي أَمْرٍ اِشْتَهَرَ فِيهِ الْخَلَافِ بَيْنَ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَبَيْنَ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعَةِ فَإِنَّ هَذَا يَكُونُ مُبْتَدِعًا. That if there is an issue, and this issue is the difference between Ahlul Sunnah and Ahlul Bid'ah. This is the main difference between Ahlul Sunnah and Ahlul Bid'ah. And this person, his madhab is that thing. Then he is an innovator. So for example, one of the main differences between Ahlul Sunnah and the Mu'tazila is when it comes to the speech of Allah. So Ahlul Sunnah, they say, Kalamullahi haqiqi ghair makhluq. That the speech of Allah, it is real. Allah spoke with the Quran, with a word, with words, with meanings, and with a sound which was heard. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He revealed the Quran, He spoke with the words of the Quran to Jibreel alayhi salam. And Jibreel alayhi salam, he heard these words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Jibreel alayhi salam, he came and he conveyed these words to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as Allah spoke them. So when we read the ayat of the Quran, this is the real speech of Allah. Allah spoke with it. The wording is from Allah. The haroof are from Allah and the ma'ani are from Allah. All of it is from, and it is not created. Why? Because it is one of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Mu'tazila, they say no. The Quran, it is created. It is not the speech of Allah. They negated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. Some of them, they said that the Quran, al-ma'ani min Allah, wa amma al-haroof wal-alfaz fa min Jibreel. They said the meanings of the Quran are from Allah, but the wording is the wording of Jibreel. Or the wording is the wording of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As if the Quran is mere inspiration of the meaning, but the wording is from Jibreel. So now, what is the principle which differentiates between Ahlul Sunnah and Mu'tazila? Kalamullah, the speech of Allah. So if a person agrees with the Mu'tazila in this issue, because this is the criterion between Ahlul Sunnah and the Mu'tazila, then he's considered to be from the Mu'tazila. Or for example, what is the difference between Ahlul Sunnah and the Khawarij? It is As-Sam' wa-Ta'ah wa-Takfiru bil-Kabira. Two things. Firstly, accepting the obedience of the Muslim rulers even if they are corrupt or oppressive. And secondly, we don't make takfir of those people who have committed a major sin. And this is the main difference between Ahlul Sunnah and the Khawarij. So if a person, he makes his madhab, this thing which is the criterion between Ahlul Sunnah and Ahlul Bid'ah, then he's termed to be from the Khawarij. Also, as I mentioned, that if somebody, he's known, مَنْ عُرِفَ بِالسُنَّةِ, he's known by the Sunnah, وَتَمَسَّكَ بِأُصُولِهَا, and he holds on firm to the usul of Ahl of the Sunnah. ثُمَّ أَخْطَى فِي أَحَدِ الْجُزْئِيَاتِ, and then he makes a mistake in one instance of the usul, then we don't say that this person is an innovator immediately. For example, we have a person and his usul is السَّمْعُ الطَّاعَةِ لِحُكَامِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. His usul is to hear and obey and accept the authority of the Muslim rulers even if they are corrupt. And this is his usul. And this is what he believes in. And he calls to. And he gives da'wah to. And then, in a particular situation, he went against this usul. So maybe there was a particular instance, maybe due to the political events which were taking place at that time, maybe he rebelled against the ruler. We don't say straight away that he's from the people of innovation. And there are examples like this from the Salaf and from those who came after them, from the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah, and they made a mistake in this issue, even though their usul were the usul of Ahlul Sunnah. But it was just a mistake in a single instant. In that situation, they made a mistake. So we say that what they did in that instance, in that situation, it was a mistake. It was not correct. But we don't say that they are innovators. Or for example, a person, he fights against innovations and he warns against the people of innovation and he does not sit with the people of innovation, he does not accompany them. But in a particular instance, he accompanied or he was friendly or he sat with one of the people of innovation due to a maslaha which he considered, even if he was wrong. We don't say that this person is from the people of innovation. Why? Because if you look at his usul, it is he warns against innovation, he warns against the people of innovation, he boycotts the people of innovation. Naam, he has a hatred for the people of innovation. But in a particular situation, for a particular maslaha which he considered to be correct, he sat with one of them or he worked with them. We can say his action was incorrect, but we don't say that this person is from the people of innovation, and you know, if only this was understood by the people. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he has certain statements which summarize these things which I've mentioned. He said, "Al-bid'atu allati yu'addu biha ar-rajulu min ahli al-ahwa mashtahara 'inda ahli al-'ilmi mukhalafatuha lil-kitabi was-sunnah kabid'ati al-khawarij wal-rawafidh wal-qadariyya wal-murji'a ila akhirih." He said, the bid'ah, which if a person does the bid'ah, he is considered to be from the people of innovation, is that bid'ah which is known and famous with the people of knowledge that it is against the kitab and the sunnah. He said, like the bid'ah of the Khawarij. So the bid'ah of the Khawarij is famous, well known amongst the scholars, that if a person falls into this bid'ah and he takes the usul, he has left the fold of Ahlul Sunnah, or the Rawafid, or the Qadriya, or the Murji'ah, and so on and so forth. In another statement, he said, "Man khalaf al-kitab al-mustabin," whoever opposes the clear ayat of the Quran, "was-sunnah al-mustafidha," and whoever goes against the narrations of the Sunnah, which are mustafidha, ay mutawatira, those clear, authentic narrations of the Sunnah. أو ما أجمع عليه سلف الأمة, or he goes against the إجماع of the سلف of the أمة, خلاف لا يعذر فيه, and this opposition of this, he has no excuse in it. Meaning it wasn't a misunderstanding, it wasn't because he had some ignorance, it wasn't because he considered a weak hadith to be authentic or vice versa. He had no excuse in this. He said, فَهَذَا يُعَامَلْ بِمَا يُعَامَلْ بِهِ أَهْلُ الْبِدْعَةِ. Such a person is treated like the people of innovation are treated. He said, Ibn Taymiyyah, in another statement, all of these are from his Majmu'. He said, مَنْ تَعَبَّدَ بِعِبَادَةٍ لَيْسَتْ وَاجِبَ وَلَا مُسْتَحِبَّةٍ. That whoever worships Allah with ibadah, which is neither wajib, nor is it mustahab or recommended. وَهُوَ يَعْتَقِدُهَا وَاجِبَةٍ. And he considered this action to be wajib or recommended, فَهُوَ ضَالُ الْمُبْتَدِعِ. Then he is a misguided innovator. And he has many other statements which are similar to this meaning. But as we mentioned previously, the principle isn't that whoever falls into a single innovation, he is considered to be a person of innovation. This isn't the principle. We don't say, كُلُّ مَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الْبِدْعَةِ وَقَعَتِ الْبِدْعَةُ عَلَيْهِ. We don't say this. That whoever did any, it's even a single innovation, then immediately he is a person of innovation. And in last lesson, we mentioned to you the statement of Shaykh al-Albani rahimullah. And he said, وَأَنَا أُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَن نَقُولُ فُلَانٌ وَقَعَ فِي الْكُفْرِ وَفُلَانٌ كَافِرٌ. He said, I differentiate between saying somebody falls into kufr and somebody is a kafir. This is two different things. He said, وَكَذَلِكَ فُلَانٌ وَقَعَ فِي الْبِدْعَةِ وَفُلَانٌ مُبْتَدِعٌ. And I differentiate between saying somebody has fallen into an innovation and somebody who is an innovator. So it doesn't necessarily mean that just because somebody falls into an innovation, he is a innovator. And we said that the word kafir and the word mubtadi', it has a certain madlul. It has a certain understanding. So kafir and mubtadi', it isn't a person who fell into kufr or who fell into a bid'ah. Rather, it is somebody who is known for this bid'ah and he calls to this bid'ah, and this bid'ah is one of the major usul of the groups of innovation and so on and so forth. Like Shaykh Albani said, the word kathab and the word udul, it has a particular understanding. So kathab, it means liar. And udul are those people who are truthful and trustworthy. So kathab isn't a person who just lied once in his lifetime. Just because a person fell into a lie once, a small lie, we don't say this person is a kathab. Also the word as-sadiq, a truthful person, it doesn't mean that just because somebody told one truth, the rest of his statements are lies, but he told a single truth and we say now this person is sadiq. No. Sadiq is the one who is known for sidq. And kathab is the one who is known for kathib. This is known about him. Similarly, when it comes to a kafir, it has a certain meaning. So the evidence has been established against him. The kufr which he committed was kufrun akbar. And he's remaining upon this and so on and so forth. And also the mubtadi' and like this. And that's why Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he said, وَكَثِيرٌ مِّن مُجْتَهِدِيَ السَّلَفُ وَالْخَلَفُ. That many of the scholars of the mujtahideen, of the mujtahidun from the Salaf and the Khalaf, قَدْ قَالُوا وَفَعْلُوا مَا هُوَ بِدْعَ. Many of them, they said statements of bid'ah, and they did actions of bid'ah. وَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّهُ بِدْعَ. But they never realized that it was a bid'ah. إِمَّا لِأَحَدِيثُ ضَعِيفَ ظَنُّهَا صَحِيحًا. Either due to weak ahadith, but they thought that these weak ahadith were authentic. وَإِمَّا لِآيَاتٍ فَهِمُوا مِنْهَا. Or due to ayat, they understood something from the ayat which was not to be understood. وَإِمَّا لِرَأٍ رَأَوْهُ. Or maybe due to a particular understanding which they had, but they didn't understand. It was a misunderstanding. And there are people from the Salaf and the Khalaf, from the ulama, who fell into these actions, which are bid'ah. But we don't say that they are innovators. So we have to be aware, we have to be careful of making tabdi' of the people. Just throwing blankets of tabdi' upon the people without knowledge, and or due to personal reasons, personal hatred, or due to jealousy. Also, we have to be aware of backbiting people in the name of that fulan is a mubtadi'. So yes, the ulama, they say, la ghibata lil mubtadi', that when it comes to the innovator, the right of not backbiting him does not exist. But even this, it has certain dawabit, it has certain guidelines, certain restrictions. So this isn't an open call for us to be always backbiting every person of innovation. Rather, there are restrictions, There are times, there are places when it is done, there are times when it is not done. And also we have to be careful about making judgments upon awam al-Muslimin. So the Muslim who is ammi, just the common Muslim out there, the only thing which is important to him are his salawat and his wajibat, and maybe he's got a few innovations as well, but we don't say that he's from Ahlul Bid'ah. We don't say that he's from the Rawafid or the Sha'ira, or he's from Ikhwan al-Muslimin. We don't say this. He's just an army. He has no knowledge. He only cares about his salah and his zakah and his fasting, and he worships Allah upon Tawheed. So we don't say regarding all of the awam al-Muslimin that they are people of the innovation. Rather, we give them husna dhan, and we teach them, and we convey to them the correct knowledge. Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimullah, as Al-Khalal mentioned in a sunnah, he said, إِخْرَاجُ النَّاسِ مِنَ السُنَّةِ شَدِيدٍ, that to throw the people out of the sunnah, meaning to throw people out of Ahlul Sunnah, then this is shadid. This is a affair which is very, very dangerous, very severe. So we have to be very careful about the names that we give to the people. And also, the asal in the sharia is إِصْلَاحُ النَّفْسِ مُقَدَّمْ عَلَى إِصْلَاحِ الْغَيْرِ, that rectifying your own self, it comes before rectifying other people. You looking at your own intentions and your own actions, it comes before trying to rectify the intentions and the actions of other people. And this is what the people of Iman are upon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. He said, by time, verily mankind is in loss, except those people who have iman themselves, and they do righteous action. Then after this, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, then they start encouraging people upon the truth, and they encourage patience upon the people. So what came first? إِصْلَاحُ النَّفْسِ الْإِيمَانُ وَالْعَمُلُ الصَّالِحِ. What came second? إِصْلَاحُ الْغَيْرِ, to rectify other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did He criticize Bani Israel? He said, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ, do you advise other people with righteousness and then you forget yourselves? وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ, and you yourselves are reciting the scriptures, the revelation. So always, إِصْلَاحُ النَّفْسِ مُقَدَّمْ عَلَى إِصْلَاحُ الْغَيْرِ. Brothers, there's one more lesson left next week, inshallah. And that will be our last lesson. So we've gone over the time again. There is one more lesson left, and then we will finish this series. So it will be a series of five lessons and not four lessons. وَجَزَاكَمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا.